With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
Our number two of Locked and Loaded, TNT Today's News Talk. Today, Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. Hard to believe in another few days' time we'll be into April. I think it's Easter. Easter this week, Sunday, Easter Sunday, possibly. Next week, obviously, bank holidays coming in the UK. Also, daylight savings kicks in for the UK on Saturday night. All our clocks move forward by 1 hour. So next week, for any of you that are listening in the UK or Ireland or anywhere in Europe, be aware that all the shows will move up by 1 hour next week. So Locked and Loaded, that's currently on from 10 a.m. to midday, will then be on from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. until further notice. So check our website, tntradio.live, for confirmation of those show times. That should be updated over the weekend. So awful lot happening at the minute. Very action-packed first hour we had there with Luke Andreski, and also, of course, with Basil Valentine. This hour coming up, I'm going to be talking to Phil Zimmerman in about 15 minutes, really digging deep into the ruling that's just came through from the Assange hearing. He's got another 3 weeks, I believe. I'm just looking at the headlines as they're breaking here now before this proceeds or doesn't proceed any further. So a little reprieve there. We'll look into what the implications of that could be very shortly. And then Stephen Kelly is joining me from Sydney in Australia to round off the show. Very important, I believe, to keep an eye on what's happening, obviously, in Australia at this point in time. Whenever I started off in TNT, a lot of the news that I covered was in Oz. I became very familiar with Australian politics and what's happening over there with their energy policies and all the other shenanigans and skullduggery. So Stephen's going to kindly come on and give us just a little summary of what the state of play is in and the land down under, as they say in the UK here. Obviously, I don't think you Australians refer to that as yourselves. You're not the land down under. Maybe are you the land up over? I don't know. Any Aussies out there, let me know what you refer to yourselves as. And I'm not talking about ex-convicts and, you know, all that alcoholics and barbecue guzzlers on the beach, shrimps on the barbie and all that business. Stereotypical Paul Hogan, wide-brimmed hat, corks, necking Foster's beer. But anyway, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I love the Aussies to bits. Love the Aussies to bits. So in Ireland at the minute, Sinn Féin, we talked about this very briefly with Basil at the end of the first hour, just a little bit more depth in this one. Sinn Féin are now calling for the hate speech bill in Ireland to be scrapped after voting it in. Unbelievable. Sinn Féin, like Fine Gael, have clearly been given instructions by their EU and globalist paymasters. This is a comment coming from Lawyers for Justice Ireland, to walk back on their left liberal extremism in order to neutralise the rising resistance in Ireland. And there is absolutely rising resistance in Ireland. Sinn Féin are political tricksters. They will try to tell you what they believe you want to hear. They are trying to trick you into voting for them. They cannot be trusted. They abandon everything that Irish republicanism ever stood for. They are part of the established order. We need a new Ireland for the people, by the people. What a comment to make from Lawyers for Justice Ireland, and pretty much sums it up well. Sinn Féin's flip-flopping around this particular issue. And one last story before I introduce Gemma here. This one made me chuckle yesterday. Kamala Harris did a field trip. She was in Puerto Rico, and when she arrived, there was a group of protesters chanting a song about she shouldn't be there, she was not welcome there, and gormless Kamala Harris stood there clapping like a seal to the song that they were singing about her shouldn't be in the country, until one of the aides came over and whispered in her ear, they're actually singing about you, they don't want you here, and you're standing like a complete lemon clapping along with the protesters. So she immediately stopped her clapping and wiped that smug grin clean off her face. So there you go. Kamala Harris, what a piece of work she is. Anyway, must take a pause, must inhale, must sip some water, and welcome the wonderful Gemma Cooper, TNT's news correspondent, to step into the breach and tell us what's breaking in the UK. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Kamala Harris, you got to see that clip. She's standing there, you know, clapping, you know, giving it stacks. And there's a huge crowd there chanting about they don't want her there in Puerto Rico. Why is she there? She's a waste of space. She's clapping like a ninny, grinning until the aide whispers in her ear, Kamala, you might want to stop that. They're singing about you. They're not welcoming you here. What do you reckon? Is there any faux pas that she hasn't committed since she stepped in as the VP?
Well, I mean, that is funny, isn't it? You know, the pantomime of politics and you're just singing away about, you know, like, yeah, isn't it great? No, not really. No.
out.
Go on, love, out. But also, you know, I think really the focus has got to be on Julian Assange, actually, because although he may have to wait, it is a victory. He has been effectively given the right to appeal unless if the US can't give any assurances about two things that the judge in a 66-page ruling just announced in the last 20 minutes, effectively, they are looking for further assurances from America about how they'll treat Assange, basically, if he is extradited. They want satisfactory assurances, the judges, that Assange would be able to rely on the First Amendment of the Constitution about protecting free speech and the press. They want assurances that that will happen. And they also want to know whether he will be subject to the death penalty, the judges, if he is extradited. If America can't give assurances on those two conditions, Assange will be given right to appeal without a further hearing, which is great. If they do give assurances saying, you know, yeah, we will protect him under the free speech of the First Amendment. And, you know, don't worry about the death penalty. If they give assurances, this is just a breaking story. I'm going to have to go back to my notes. If assurances are not given on those two things, he will be granted leave to appeal. If assurances are given, then both parties will have opportunity for making further submissions and before there is a decision to appeal. So it's a stay of absence effectively while these things are thrashed out. Mm-hmm. But if the US can't guarantee his safety on those two conditions, he'll be given right to appeal. So it is a win. It is a win. It is a win. We're getting somewhere with this pivotal case, free speech, you know, the US alleging that, you know, he was in the wrong, and obviously his supporters saying, no, he's the one executed for war crimes that you committed. So the judge's ruling, although a little complicated on first reading, is a win for Assange's team, which is great. I've just been on Stella Assange's Twitter account. She hasn't posted anything up there yet. I should imagine the reaction to this is quite significant at the High Court for Assange's supporters. It's literally just broken. But in terms of freedom of speech and freedom of the press, it's definitely like a step in the right direction. And I know you'll be discussing it at length with Phil Zimmerman in a few minutes' time.
Yeah, we will indeed. But let's look at this business of assurances, okay? Because it's part of this story as well. You know, when that was the whole sticking point about him being extradited in the first place. Stella Assange said, "Look, if they put him into the Supermax facility there, it's game over. You'll want to die. I mean, it's a horrible existence. And you know, they could bump him off in there, possibly, maybe, who knows? But it's a living hell. You know, you're pretty much a dead man walking when you're living in those places." Or, as you say, potentially being subject to the death sentence. But these assurances, what do they actually mean, really? What is an assurance from the American government actually worth at this point in time? It's a little bit like, you know, Fred and Rose West taking lodgers into Cromwell Street, you know, and some potential applicant says, "Am I going to be safe here?" And they both say, "Yes, you've absolutely nothing to worry about," before the said room person ends up under the patio. Or Peter Sutcliffe coming at someone with a hammer and someone said, "You're not going to attack me with that, are you?" "No, you've got nothing to worry about." Some things you just can't place any weight in, Gemma, in all seriousness, all joking aside. And I would say with the state of the reputation of the US government at this time, even if they chipped it with a hammer and chisel into tablets of stone that Assange will be safe and secure and will not be subject to the death penalty, I wouldn't believe it at all. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them collectively as a group of people that are so-called governing and running that country. Would you?
Well, it's not really about whether we think it, it's whether the judges think it, isn't it? So they will argue that this is obviously being argued on the legal points of will he be protected under the First Amendment and will what assurances legally can you give, not empty promises. They will be expecting them to provide a legal argument, I would imagine, against, you know, the death penalty one. It won't just be a case of somebody rocking up in court and going, yeah, he'll be fine, just come with me. You know, it won't be like that. You would hope it wouldn't be like that. I don't think it will be like that, joking aside. They have asked for legal assurances and they're waiting to see what the US team come up with on that basis. And obviously the eyes of the world will be on this story subsequently. Say they do give assurances and then it proceeds again legally. Both parties will be given an opportunity to make further submissions before the final decision. It'll be another round of legal wrangling, basically. But let's see what happens with this. Let's see where it goes. The US might say, we can't provide those assurances, actually. And then he's got right to appeal. We don't know where this is going to go. We're at a fork in the road with this particular case at the moment. Which you'll just have to see. I mean, I'm with you. I wouldn't trust the American government, trust any government after the last 4 years. But it's for him, it is a win.
Yeah, some messages in the live chat at the minute. Eric says, spot on, Rick. Assurances, ? What does that actually mean? As they say, I hope it's on soft paper so you can use it for something else. And yeah, we don't know what shape and form these assurances will actually take. But again, even this, I believe, is for a period of 3 weeks, Jim, at least, that he's had this reprieve. But again, the pressure, the mental pressure, I can't even begin to imagine what that guy's going through, and his wife and their kids. Don't forget, they have two small kids as well. It's just drawing this out further and further and further to get to that point where they make another decision. Are these going to be satisfactory assurances? What's going to happen? Will they? Won't they? Sometimes it's like, you know, when you go to the dentist, and you know you're going to get a filling and you know it's going to be a horrible experience. You just want to get the damn thing over with and done. You're sick sitting in the waiting room listening to the other people getting drilled and screaming, and the anxiety mounts up and ratchets up. You just want it to come to a conclusion. And I would say that's all that guy and his wife and his two kids are hoping for at this time. Just tell us straight what's happening here. Let's get this over and done with. No more of these drawing outs and 3 weeks here and 2 weeks here and a month extra here. Oh, the stress must be incredible what they're going through.
I think you're absolutely right. And the fact that he didn't appear in court, did he, in the hearing last month because he wasn't well enough. I mean, of course, he is a human being. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And the stress it would have taken on Stella and the family and another waiting. I mean, the waiting game, it's exhausting, isn't it? Wherever you play the waiting game, it's exhausting. It's draining. It's really bad for you mentally and physically. 3 weeks. Let's hope that enough positive energy can be sent that way from all his supporters around the globe. I mean, just having a little casting my net and seeing what was going on globally just a few hours ago in Melbourne outside the British High Commission, there was a demonstration, you know, in support of Assange, and there is a groundswell of support around the world and people understanding now, especially after the last 4 years, the importance of freedom of speech, the way the state will clamp down on you if you do things that the state doesn't like. Well, we've all seen that globally. So this is, I think, increased the interest in Assange, whereas maybe pre-2020, people might not have been so engaged with this story, but they certainly are now.
They are. And it'll be interesting also to see the response of the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. In fact, my last guest on today, Gemma Stephen Cooper, is from Sydney. Maybe I'll have a quick look and see, has there been any official statement made from this by the Australians? Or are they keeping tight-lipped on the issue? Time will tell with that one too. So we've got to take a pause now, and we're going to welcome Phil on. So big thanks to you, Gemma, this morning for bringing us the breaking news, as always, from the UK and sometimes further afield. And we'll talk again tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. UK time, or there and thereabouts. That's Gemma Cooper. I'm Rick Munn, and we'll be back after this short break with more discussions on this very important topic here, live, exclusively, uncensored, and all that jazz on TNT, today's news talk.
TNT's Mark Morano.
And there's a whole history of this idea that the establishment, the powers that be, the regime in power, likes the idea of a little eco-terrorism to keep the population hungry. I mean, if you think about it, their policies, government policies of the Great Reset, Net Zero, Climate Agenda, are quite literally eco-terrorism, or a form of terrorism. It's, as Jesse Jackson used to say, it's economic violence, it's economic terrorism. Jesse Jackson used to say that about the Reagan administration. But in this case, it's the intentional collapse of energy, food, transportation, free speech, all to achieve and make us safer and give them more power under the auspices, if you will, of a crisis.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
Yes, we're just live. We're locked. We're loaded. And you know what? We're just trying to make things as good as possible here. Got Phil Zimmerman all night. Very happy to have him back. Actually, with a little bit of good news, I believe, Phil. You've been coming on a few times this year. Phil is a comedian. He's also an actor and he's also a political commentator based here in the UK. And we've very much been centered on the Assange trial at the start of the year. It was building up to the events of February. And then, of course, the world's media attention was on London for the hearing that was held there. And then it's been dragged out until this point in time. But just literally an hour ago, we got a little bit of good news from the Assange camp. Give us your thoughts on what's been released so far.
I haven't heard the news, Rick. So could you? This is a live moment, right? This is live radio. You can get my first reaction to this. I'm really looking forward to hearing some good news about this.
Well, thankfully, I do actually have the story here. So this was just breaking 9 minutes ago here. So London, Julian Assange has fended off the threat of immediate extradition to the United States to stand trial on charges that could see him spend the rest of his life behind bars, as the High Court in London signaled it may allow him to appeal his case. So the court gave the US government 3 weeks. So there's been a 3-week period that has been granted by the court for the US government to give a series of assurances around Assange's First Amendment rights. Number one, that he would not face the death penalty. And number two, that if the US fails to give these assurances, Assange would be allowed to appeal his extradition. So this is following on, obviously, from the two-day hearing that TNT covered extensively in London last month. A ruling today, a panel of two judges said that Assange would not be extradited immediately, giving the US a 3-week window to provide assurances. So similar legal rights to other US citizens. And of course, he's not a US citizen, from what I understand. I don't think he's ever been to America, but there's a 3-week reprieve effectively being given while assurances are sought. That's the bottom line. That's what's coming through this morning, Phil.
Right. I suppose you could call that slightly good news, Rick. Mm-hmm. I'm not terribly encouraged by the, you know, the promise of assurances from a government that's already tried to kidnap and assassinate Julian Assange, and wants to stick a man that a month ago wasn't even well enough, never mind to attend the hearing, but to actually see it on video. So sticking him in another high security prison in America and subjecting him to the ordeal of that trial where he could face 175 years in prison. Mm-hmm. Not terribly assuring, is it? But it's a slight window. I suppose it's better than him having been already ordered to be extradited. But I still think we're living in a bonkers world. That's why I'm wearing a bonkers pigeon costume, which is quite appropriate to the clown world we're witnessing at the moment. We missed you at Kegworth, Rick. You were supposed to be going to be there too, right? But I just did a bit of pigeon stuff to make up for the fact that you couldn't be there, you know. So.
Yeah, an awful lot going on here in the TNT Pigeon House, as I'm sure you know, over the last month or so. So just getting everything in order there. I'm doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes as well as the honor stuff as well. So just there was no way in hell I was going to be able to get over there this weekend. If it had been this weekend or the weekend after, no problem at all, but just last few weeks has been bonkers. But we've actually streamlined things an awful lot here, Phil, and we've actually a much stronger proposition than we did this time 2 to 3 weeks ago. So yes, supposed to go to.
We'll let you off.
Yeah, I'm excused this time. I've got a reprieve as well.
But bring a note next time. Bring a note next time, okay?
Yeah, I'll get a note from Mike Ryan. Further information on this story as well here. This is just coming through as we're actually speaking, okay? So in a ruling today, a panel of two judges said that Assange would not be extradited unless certain assurances were given. If they're not given, then leave to appeal will be given and there will be an appeal hearing. So these are further things that may be happening down the line. If the assurances are given, okay, so if America can't provide the assurances that the British judges want, then there will be a further hearing in May to decide if the assurances are satisfactory before a final decision on leave to appeal is given, it said. So it sounds to me, Phil, it's almost like this guy's mental state and his physical state is a sponge, and they are wringing this sponge out as slowly as they can to drag this out and protract this as slowly as they can. I believe this is an added level of psychological torture that they're inflicting on Julian Assange, because what they're saying is there could be another hearing, even if they get the assurances in May, to decide if they're satisfactory before a final decision is given. So we're looking at a very, very minimum amount here of another 2 months, minimum of another 2 months that this could be drawn out for.
It's ludicrous. I mean, I totally agree with you, Rick. I mean, the whole process over the last few years, you know, he's been a prisoner now for, well, it was 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy, 5 years in Belmarsh, 12 years. You know, his children have spent their formative years without their father. Mm-hmm. He had a stroke in 2021. He's clearly not well. He's obviously, health is fragile, physically and psychological health. And what took them a whole month to come up with this genius of a decision we've just heard now? You know, did it really need a month? I mean, the extradition should have been thrown out. Never mind, you know, they'll consider, you know, they won't do it unless they get the right insurances. I mean, we know that it's corrupt to the core, and you know, you can't trust anything they say or do. So I think the whole thing's a disgrace.
I think, Phil, as well, there was such a high expectation in February last month, whenever this two-day hearing was going on in London. I think most people had an expectation that at the end of that 2 days, the decision would be given and at least we would know one way or the other. And then, no,
exactly.
On the last day, they said, no, it could be the beginning of March before this is known. So that at the time would have been an extra 2 weeks. And now here, where are we? The 26th of March. So that's well over a month after those hearing days in London before we've got to this point. And of course, this point is saying, well, it's another 3 weeks to get assurances. And if the assurances aren't given, then we'll have to wait to May. And then after May, then we'll decide where we're going after that. It just seems to be really wringing the sponge out. Julian Assange's mental health sponge is just about as far wrung out as I could imagine it would be. And it's a testimony to the guy's character that he is still alive and still functioning at this point in time, because I don't know about you, mate, but I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like to be existing under those circumstances, separated from a wife, separated from a family, and being charged of these trumped up charges that make no sense. Extradition, death penalty, 175 years in prison, absolute hell he's going through. So fair play to him. He's still got the fight in him yet, but I would say it's diminishing rapidly, and that's part of the design. Got to take a brief headline break right now, Phil. When we come back at the other side, look at further breakdown in this story where the court has said that Assange has a real prospect of success on 3 of the 9 grounds of his appeal. So we'll look at what the prospects of success are, trying to keep it a little bit positive here this morning on TNT. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short headline.
TNT Radio News.
Hi, everybody.
So many crazy news stories going on right now.
Now, the news. Go.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. The White House continues to shrug off claims that Ukraine played a part in Friday's terrorist attack in Moscow, saying the sole responsibility lies with Islamic State. China's warned relations with the Philippines have reached a crossroads following yet another aggressive confrontation in the South China Sea. And US presidential candidate Donald Trump has warned Israel to wrap up its war in Gaza, because it's losing the world's support.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, talking with Phil Zimmerman this morning, who's obviously a massive advocate for the freedom of Julian Assange and that any charges against him should be dropped. Phil, just looking at further reporting coming from this ruling this morning, the court has said that Assange has a real prospect of success on 3 of the 9 grounds of appeal, that his extradition is incompatible with freedom of expression, and that if extradited, Assange might be prejudiced at a trial due to his nationality, and that if extradited, he would not enjoy adequate death penalty protection. So there's 3 out of a possible 9 reasons he should not be. Surely we shouldn't need multiple boxes to be ticked. Surely if they're falling down on at least one of these conditions, it should knock the whole thing clean up. Why do they need to have multiple conditions met before they would think this? Surely the fact that he's prejudiced against having a fair trial, that in and of itself should be enough to release him immediately.
Well, absolutely. And mentioning the idea of freedom of expression as if it was just some kind of afterthought they've just sort of come up with. You know, the whole thing is about that, not just for Assange, but for journalism worldwide and for freedom of expression in general. It's not just about, you know, an attack on an individual man and his family. It's about, you know, it's representative of freedom for all of us, isn't it? So this is a really, a really historic case. And yeah, it would be nice if they actually put freedom of expression and human rights center stage. I mean, that's what Assange is all about. That's what his whole journalistic career has been about, and what raising the issues that has put him in the crosshairs here is all about. And yeah, well, if you're going to consider that, there's only one answer, there's only one solution, and that's no extradition, as we've been shouting for years on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Again, and obviously, of course, another point that was made there was the fact that he could have be prejudiced, that he wouldn't actually have a fair trial if it were to get to that point. And as you rightly pointed out, I think it was Mike Pompeo was on record as saying that they were plotting to have the guy killed and assassinated, and now they want to bring him back into the spider's web and claim they're going to provide assurances that he'd be well looked after, that he won't face the death penalty, when they've already plotted openly to assassinate the guy.
But that's the central, most bizarre thing of the whole issue. And how much have we heard that mentioned and discussed? I mean, that should be on the news headlines. A guy that's being extradited for telling the truth about government corruption and war crimes, in an age where everything is basically inverted, where we've got all the Western governments singing from that same hymn sheet, doing absolutely nothing about this disgusting ongoing genocide in Gaza, to name but one of the outrages. And have we seen that on the news headlines anywhere? Does anybody, is it widely known that Assange was actually at risk of being assassinated and kidnapped by the CIA, despite the fact that it's been put out there by whistleblowers, more than one whistleblower? And it just underlines why Assange is doing what he's doing, because this system is rotten and corrupt to the core.
You know, the one thing, my friend, is we've never advocated, we never will, for violence. We believe in peaceful, mass non-compliance and telling the truth with no edits and no, censorship, no restriction. And does it not highlight to you, Phil, more than any time in history, the terror that it strikes into the heart of globalists and compromised governments, just the power of truth, what truth can actually do? You look at the campaign that has been waged against Assange for well over 10 years now, because he simply highlighted corruption, he highlighted murder, he highlighted so many wicked and malevolent things. And because of that, he's in prison. I'm thinking about David McBride. He's a TNT host, but he's also facing up to 50 years in prison in Australia for being a whistleblower for war crimes, alleged war crimes, 39 people murdered by the ADF in the Middle East as well. All he did was bring this to light, and was told, well, you're compromising national security, we want to make an example out of you, deter other people like you from speaking up. You look at the hate crime laws, Phil, that are being brought out at the minute in Ireland, the hate speech bill. You look at Scotland at the minute, what's happening there. In Australia, it's happening. Is there seems to be a concerted effort at this point in time to shut down people like us, as in people who tell the truth. But of course, we're portrayed as, twisters and manipulators and purveyors of mis and disinformation. Who would have thought that simply telling the truth would be such a terrifying act at this point in time to the rats that are running the ship at this point in time?
I think you're absolutely right, Rick, to mention that they're afraid. They're afraid of the truth. What they're also afraid of is, and why they put all this constant effort into creating division and fear on so many levels, is because they're also terrified, not only of the truth, but of individual people waking up to the power of their own true selves.
Yes, yes.
Because if you're deluded, if you're living on a low vibrational level, mm-hmm. if you're distracted and conflicted, you're not able to be very powerful, and you don't have time to really inform yourself and do research, even on a basic level. Mm-hmm. So they, the thing about the globalists, they are scared. They're a parasitic force. We, mm-hmm. as true human beings, have incredible potential. We're incredible, amazing mm-hmm. creatures, right? Just on a physical level, then, on the power of our mind, mm-hmm. We have the power to choose our own thoughts and create our own reality. And they don't want that. They don't want us to discover that. They don't want us to pass it on to other people who are not completely zombified, and mm-hmm. are able to be awakened. They can only function as a parasitic force that has got no power of love and no power of creativity. That's why they're so terrified of the arts. Mm-hmm. That's why my show, Bill Gates Killed My Hamster, was cancelled, as many other artists and creative people are being cancelled. They can keep putting the lid on stuff as much as they like. We'll just keep taking it off, and we'll grow stronger, and the truth will come out. And we can only hope that Julian Assange, is a great figurehead of that movement of freedom, will survive, and he's got a growing level of support. The whole world is mm-hmm. is watching this case now, and I think part of the reason maybe that they've taken over a month is that they are a bit scared as well of making a wrong move on this. So we just got to hope that it and pray that it's going to go the right mm-hmm. way.
I think you're right. This focus last month, Phil, in London, was the biggest focus that I've seen on the Assange case since it's been a thing. There's never been more media attention on it than there was in London last month. It was a real focal point that I did believe brought a lot of people's attention to that issue that maybe weren't paying it that much attention beforehand. And then when numbers get involved, when you get a sway of public opinion involved, then of course they have to watch every step that they make to make sure that they don't put a foot wrong when it comes to the globalists and the people that are oppressing and restricting freedom of speech and the truth being spread and disseminated. They need to watch their step very, very carefully. And just one last point that you made, just as we're wrapping this up. For years, there's been people, talking about government corruption, talking about the evils that governments have been permitting, and pretty much getting away with it. But I think there's a strange thing happening at this time. I think there is a genuine swell of people that are shaking off their perceptions about what is good and evil and realizing that the vast majority of the people that run our governments in this world are rotten to the core and responsible for the most heinous acts of wickedness, violence, and slaughter in the history of mankind. And maybe, just maybe, that they've been lied to. And it's because of the pressure, I think, that's being applied at this time by people like yourself, by events like the Comcast, bringing people together, by what TNT are doing, other independent platforms, people just working on an individual basis. There's a real push and a little bit of momentum gathering at the minute, Phil, and I think they're doing everything they can to try and crush that. That's why we're seeing all these hate speech bills being brought in now to frighten us and think, well, you could be the next Julian Assange if you open your mouth and speak out. But I don't think it's going to work. There's too many people waking up, too many people speaking out right now.
I think that's absolutely true. I think that they're, you know, they're the level of exposure on the evil, and I'm going to call it conspiracy because that's what it is. Call me conspiracy theorist if you like, but that mud's not going to stick very well anymore because we've exposed that tired old phrase for what it is, meaningless. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're being exposed and more people are waking up. And we just keep chipping away until we get rid of the tyrants and get rid of the lies. And also we need to transform our own ourselves, as well as I said before, waking up to our own power. Because if we just put them in prison, you know, and change the externals without changing the causes, mm-hmm. what will happen is, I think we'll just get eventually the same thing will happen again, you know.
Yeah,
because everyone has good and evil in them, and we got to find a new system where the evil doesn't rise to the top all the time, and the light can shine. You know, Phil Zimmerman, bonkers news.
We need to. Well, actually, somebody in the chat has asked. I said, "Who is this guest? I missed the beginning, but he speaks a lot of sense." That's Mugden in her live chat. So you are speaking a lot of sense this morning, Phil. And Wee Fat Shug says it's Phil Zimmerman. Yes, it is Phil Zimmerman. And Phil, I really appreciate you hopping on this morning. Nice to be able to talk about a little glimmer of hope for a change with regards to this particular case, and also just remind ourselves that we are making a difference collectively and individually, and we need to keep the pressure up because we're starting to see the plaster cracking and the dam cracking, and it's only a matter of time, I believe, before the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. So we've got to stop now, Phil, take a little break, and then I've got another guest coming on. But huge thanks to you again, whatever you're doing for the rest of the day. I hope you have a lovely day, and hopefully we'll get talking sooner rather than later. That's the wonderful Phil Zimmerman, and I'll be back after the break with the equally wonderful Stephen Kelly from AFL Solicitors in Sydney in Australia to round off the show here today. Don't go away, more to come on TNT, Today's News Talk.
While serving in Afghanistan, I was hit by sniper fire. The fighting was so intense, the medevac chopper was barely able to land. In the hospital, I was given a 5% chance to live. It's a good thing math wasn't my best subject. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I talk to kids about dealing with life's struggles. I tell them, with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
I know that some struggles are big and some are small, but they're all struggles, and you have to learn to get through them. With support from DAV, more veterans like me can live their best life. And as a new father, I have one more reason to keep on keeping on. My victory is being there for the next generation.
Adam Alexander, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Right, I've got cancer. I've been trying to tell the rest of you, but no one's listening. And I don't just mean you, ears, eyes. Would you look in the damn toilet for once? Hands, roll those sleeves and take a sample. And legs, trot off to the doctor to get me looked at. Because bowel cancer can be successfully treated when detected early. Now look who's finally woken up.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
we turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide the news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
Too many journalists are paying with their lives. They face exponential risks, and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked in the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre, surtout que je ne m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with a free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced. Press freedom is your freedom.
Rick Mon is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, TNT, today's News Talk, and I'm very happy to be joined again by, you know, what I believe, who I believe is a cornerstone of Locked and Loaded, the one and only Stephen Kelly. For any of you people that have been living under a rock for the last year, he was the first guest I ever had on TNT. That was 2 years and 3 months ago, and he's still coming back for more. Stephen, are you a masochist or what? Why do you keep coming back on the Locked and Loaded to talk to me at nighttime?
Oh, it's very entertaining to talk to someone normal, Rick. So I don't often have that working at AFL solicitors sometimes. So.
Yeah, Tony Nicklick, he's a bit of an oddball, isn't he? But we love
he's
him.
Certainly a character.
We love him very much. If he's listening in, Tony, absolutely no disrespect to him at all. And he's got impeccable taste in music. He's a big Iron Maiden fan and actually has a huge collection of bass guitars. He plays the bass guitar. Who wouldn't have thought so, you know, with his profession? And, you know, he's getting on a little bit in years, but he's a rocker. He's a metaler to the core. So nothing but respect to Tony Nicklick. And, of course, you and he work together in AFL Solicitors in Sydney, and of course you were once in a previous life a very long he worked together in AFL Solicitors in Sydney, and of course you were once in a previous life a very long standing and well-established and long-serving member of the New South Wales Police before they mandated that you be jabbed, and you didn't want to quit your bodily autonomy, so you just walked away. You took your stand for it, and for that respect, my friend, respect is due.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks. Yes, it's gone pretty quickly, the time, really.
Hasn't it? You know, 2 years, can you believe 2 years and 3 months we've been talking, and we have actually started to see some breakthroughs. I was talking with Phil Zimmerman, a chap called Phil Zimmerman, before you came on there, and we're saying about, at this point in time, Stephen, I believe more than any other time, the penny is dropping with them, what's being done to them, what has been done to them, what is still being done to them in terms of, you know, you look at Australia, for example, and that's what I want to do here this morning. I've got a few stories here that I want to bounce off of you, get your thoughts and opinions on them. Mm-hmm. But the average Aussie, I'm sure, is looking around saying, hang on a minute, we're getting stitched up here. Our government is not doing what is right for us and haven't been doing what is right for us for a very long time. So first story in particular, this is a huge deal that's been signed up. So Australia's $4.6 billion AUKUS, which is Australia, United Kingdom and US pact that was signed, funding to help create more than 1,000 jobs in the UK, say Rolls-Royce. So Australia's $4.6 billion funding is creating 1,000 extra jobs for Rolls-Royce, the engine manufacturer in the United Kingdom. That's not exactly probably what the average Aussie wants to hear as they're scrambling around trying to find work and employment, knowing that the government signed up a $1 billion deal to give more jobs to the Brits, or the Poms, as you would call us.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's interesting that you've said that. I, from a layman's point of view, I certainly find that that most Australians would find that quite concerning, that we've signed up to something that's not actually benefiting Australians in terms of creating employment for us, and particularly in relation to supporting a quite well-established company too, being Rolls-Royce. So there's plenty of people in Australia that certainly are struggling for getting by in terms of paying rent and the cost of living, and I would have thought that that money that the Australian government's invested would be certainly well spent here as opposed to overseas.
Listen, it's a crazy, this is an actual story that's broken this morning in Guardian Australia, so it's legit, came out this morning. Listen to this. The Australian government revealed that it would send 4.6 billion Aussie dollars, which is around 2.4 billion pounds, to the UK over the next 10 years to ensure the Rolls-Royce nuclear reactor production line in Derby was able to supply reactors for use in Adelaide-built submarines. Okay, it's a 10-year deal funding 4.6 billion Aussie dollars into the British economy to provide reactors that will then be shipped back over to build Aussie submarines. It kind of smacks of Malcolm Roberts many times talked about your coal industries. One of the big, you guys have some of the best coal in the world. But what you do is then you're exporting it to China, and China are building wind turbines that they're then selling back to the Aussie government, and they're making a killing in the process to simply try and provide renewable energy. It seems to be everybody's doing well off the back of the Australian government, except for the Australian people themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been happening for a number of years now, hasn't it? Really, and it's just in these times, it's becoming more and more significantly felt by the Australian people, and the reality of the how bad the situation is in terms of the cost of energy being so expensive now, and we are one of, as you've explained, one of the most rich sources of energy in the world, cheap energy, and we can't supply it to our own people, and we're exporting it to other countries to buy it back in this green energy. It doesn't look, none of it makes sense, and the politicians in power, I think the majority of them know it doesn't make any sense, but it just seems that they're not acting in the interest of the Australian people. It seems well and truly clear to me by now, and I think to a lot of people, that our politicians are acting in the interests of corporations and others that are dictating these policies.
And, you know, it doesn't look like it's going away, Stephen. That's why I highlighted that story about the AUKUS deal, or the 2.4 or the $4.6 billion going to Britain over 10 years to bolster our employment market. That's just happened this week. But what we're talking about with regards to, for example, the coal exports and the buying back of wind turbines, that's been going on for years. So it doesn't look like, you know, it's abating anything. That Rolls-Royce deal, I think, is just another slap in the face for the Australian people, because I'm sure 1,000 jobs would be more than welcome in Australia at this point in time. But instead, it's going to happen in Derby in the UK to build engines that are then going to be shipped back to construct nuclear submarines in Adelaide. Again, I'm sure there's other things that the Aussies need manufactured more than nuclear subs at this point in time, but it is what it is. Another story here to do with, this is something that's becoming a big issue over in Australia, immigration. An astonishing graph was published again yesterday in the Mail in Australia, the astonishing graph that highlights how immigration has soared, and it references Pauline Hanson's five-step solution. So the headlines are, Australian immigration is at a record high. Almost two-thirds of people went to New South Wales and Victoria, which is where you're at the minute. You're in Sydney, which I believe is New South Wales. An astonishing graph has highlighted almost two-thirds are flooding to Sydney and Melbourne, worsening severe city congestion and the housing crisis. Now, you're in Sydney, so I can ask you this, to give me this straight from the horse's mouth, and I know you've alluded to this in the past, but it's not easy finding accommodation in Sydney at this point in time, and B, finding something that's affordable in Sydney at this point in time. And again, this flooding, or this huge amount of immigrants coming in, doesn't exactly help people that are living in Australia, paying Australian tax, trying to make their way in Australia, and then all of a sudden you've got the floodgates opening and you get squeezed even harder. Is that your own experience as a Sydney resident?
Definitely, Rick. I mean, people do talk about the issue of the rental crisis more frequently now. It's certainly becoming a hot topic on radio and getting some coverage on mainstream news. And it just seems, but there's just no response really from Albanese as to why he's you know, persisting in bringing in such high numbers into the country in the situation where they just don't have the houses and the accommodation to support these large numbers. So we're seeing more and more people starting to become homeless. That homelessness in Sydney is becoming a real front and centre type scenario too, that it doesn't take much now for people to be having to sort of live in their cars because they can't find accommodation or living on the streets. And it's only getting worse, but it just seems that I don't know how much worse it's got to get before something happens. But I think, you know, it's just not sustainable in the current situation. I'm paying rent, and I'm waiting for my rent to eventually go up too. So I'm in a prime Sydney market, and, you know, it's the owner's choice at the moment, because it's all, you know, the cards are in their favour. So people in the rental market certainly are at the mercy of this situation. And I don't know where they're going to accommodate all these people, Rick. So, and I don't think...
Well, that's the issue, Stephen. There was a story I covered not so long ago there, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, where in Brisbane, in the CBD, in the Central Business District in Brisbane, there's a tent city has popped up. People are living rough as a tent city community in Brisbane. Same thing's happening in Ireland. In Dublin, in our capital city, there's around about 900 to 1,000 men living in tents on the streets with no sanitation, nothing, outside the IPO in Dublin, because there's nowhere to put them, but yet the government still allows people to flood into the country. And here's the problem. These figures that I'm quoting to you this morning here, so for example, a record 548,000 migrants moved to Australia in the year to September last year, setting population growth to its highest level since 1952. At 2.5%. So 186,000 set up home in New South Wales alone, which again is your backyard, while another 161,000 settled in Victoria. So where are they going to go? That's the question. Where are they going to put people? In Ireland now, they've got modular facilities now. They're effectively, there's no room to put people now in hotels. The hotels are full. The tourist industry is being destroyed. People are now being put into mass camps, modular housing within camps, because there's nowhere else to put them, literally, or they're sleeping on the streets, but still the government allows them to come in. And when it gets to that point, it's very, very hard to undo the damage, Stephen, because it's very hard to deport those people. And I fear that as you guys are starting to wake up to this problem, which is going to, believe you me, it's going to become a massive problem in Australia. By the time the penny drops with the general population, at that point, I would say it's going to be too late to do anything about it, because you're going to then have to do mass deportations, which they may claim is against violating their human rights.
Well, Rick, it's you're right. I think the penny won't drop for most people until it it becomes so evident that these vast numbers have just caused a ridiculous strain on our resources. I don't, look, as I said, I don't know what the solution is, because I mean, the media seem to be in bed with the politicians, and you know, there's no real attempt by, well, when I say that, there have been some journalists that have been raising the issue of the large numbers of people coming into Australia, but that just doesn't seem to me that the any of the politicians seem to be accountable or even care, to be honest.
No, they don't. And that's the thing. They're still riding the pig's back, they say in Ireland here. That's an expression to say they're coining money. They're still riding on the gravy train at the minute. And at the end of the day, they're getting their... You look at the so-called lockdown premiers that are all now exited stage left. You look at the Gladys Berejiklians, you look at the Palaszczuks, you look at the Mark McGowans, you look at the Dan Andrews, you look at the Michael Gunners, all these people who destroyed Australia with lockdowns, printing money, ruining the economy. None of them are destitute, I would hazard to say, since they've lost their jobs or stepped aside from their premiership, Stephen. I don't think you're going to find them sleeping rough in the CBD of Melbourne or in the CBD of Sydney or in the CBD of Brisbane anywhere. They're riding the gravy train doing who knows what to make ends meet at the minute, where people like yourself who took a stand and did the right thing ended up losing your job, and you suffered as a result of that in many, many ways. It's a disgusting state of affairs. And just one last thing, because we've only got a minute left. Flip me, the time's disappeared. The Irish Australian police have had a huge recruitment drive in Ireland recently, in Dublin, and they've got a lot of new recruits joining the Aussie police from Ireland, because again, people like you who served nearly 30 years as a faithful officer, no, they don't want you back again. They want an Irishman in there patrolling the streets of Sydney instead. Talk about a slap in the face. But you know what, we can laugh, because God has a plan for all of us, and his ways are higher than our ways, and his ways are better than our ways, and you're going to end up better than you would have done had you stayed in that Aussie police force. Trust me. And I know I've ended up better than I did staying in my last job. So stuff them all, Stephen. That's what I say. But listen, we're out of time, mate. I've got a call time in this one, but we'll stay in touch and talk again sooner rather than later. That's the wonderful Stephen Kelly. I'm the not so wonderful Rick Munn, and the fantastic James Freeman is incoming here. Don't go away. This is TNT, Today's News Talk.